But this table is designed that you might have that very love restored, challenged, revived, and renewed. And this is the remedy for a cold heart. This is the remedy. God has ordained this to bring us back to Calvary, back to basics, back to the very love of God for our souls. And Christians, we all need to hear again and again and again of the wonder of the Savior's love. I refer to that in verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Behold." What a wonder it is. The hymn writer put it, "I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me." It's the greatest news in all of the Bible.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and it's a privilege to bring you the message of the Lord today. We're turning to Revelation chapter 3, the church at Laodicea, the church that had gone lukewarm. Have you ever taken a drink of lukewarm water? Well, people from Asia have no trouble with that. In fact, they say it's much better for your health than cold or really hot steaming water. But there's just something about food that has grown cold, or drink that has grown cold. It has lost that edge of heat and it has settled down to lukewarmness. Here in North America, most people are fond of ice in their drinks, and they like to drink something cold, especially in a hot day. Well, the Lord has told us that he wants us either hot or cold, not lukewarm. And this said he will spew out of his mouth if we be lukewarm. And of course, if you want to throw up the contents of your stomach, that's the best way to do it. Just drink something lukewarm, and that will enable you to purge that from your stomach. The Lord has said that he will want us hot or cold, not just lukewarm. So let this be a challenge to our hearts today. How can we check on the spiritual temperature of our hearts? Now, of course, we can go through the number of normal things. Number one, do you love your Bible? Do you love to meditate in the Word? Do you love to pray and to spend time with the Lord? Or is it just a prayer that is a rote and a tradition, but there's no heart-stirring devotion attached to your words of prayer? Rather, the Lord wants our prayer life to be engaged, drawing grace from the reservoir of his heart. And these are the little telltale signs if we be growing cold, lukewarm, losing the hot zeal that we once had for the Lord. And so the message today here on Let the Bible Speak is going to be about setting our heart right, getting back to the love of Christ and showing that love for the Savior. Let's just read a few verses here where the Lord speaks unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right? "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." And there the Lord gets to the real heart of the issue: materialism, self-confidence, self-dependency. And that steals away our rest and trust in the Lord. It does it every time. It hardens the heart. It shuts up the very valve of love. And it keeps us from leaning on the Savior. And here we're a people saying, "I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And of course, the Lord deliberately keeps us depending upon Him. He keeps us in that state of need that we may trust and lean upon Him and draw our everything from the Lord. So I trust you'll stay tuned here as we get to the message today, and that the Lord will graciously, wonderfully bless your heart. And we begin with Al Smith singing, Tell Me More.
Oh, tell me more, so much I need, His power to keep, His hand to lead. Oh, tell me more of Him I love, until I see His face above. Oh, tell me more of Christ my Savior, on this glad theme dwell o'er and o'er. His boundless grace, His saving favor, His precious name, oh, tell me more. Oh, tell me more, so much I need, His power to keep, His hand to lead. Oh, tell me more of Him I love, until I see His face above. Oh, tell me more, and I repeating the happy news shall spread the joy. Come, blessed Lord, Thy work completing, till songs of praise our lips employ. Oh, tell me more, so much I need, His power to keep, His hand to lead. Oh, tell me more, until I see His face above.
That brings me to the remedies of our zeal. What can be applied to really restore the zeal? Well, if you look at verse 19, the first one, there are two things here I would draw your attention to. Number one is the Savior's love for you. It hasn't changed. As many as I love, I chasten. And if there's one thing about these Laodiceans, while the Lord hated their lukewarmness, He did not hate them. Now get the difference. Get the difference now. If we learn today that God hates us, we're finished. We have no message, no hope. The Lord is rebuking these people and saying, I love you for your soul's sake, but I can't stand the lukewarmness in your life. And the Lord's love to us is a great remedy to our own hearts. It's like the husband in his jealousy who rises up to defend the love of his wife, who will not let her go without a determined effort to regain her heart. The love has not changed. Now, this communion table today is a display of the Lord's love. And the Lord has ordained this communion feast, these emblems of bread and wine, as reminders of his love to us. And he says, this do in remembrance of me. And the one thing we must never forget is the hot, fiery zeal of our Savior's love for us. He loves us at this hour as much as that hour when he was on the cross, suffering in our place. He has not changed. And this communion table is a zeal of that love for us. Now it tells us in Isaiah that it pleased the Father to bruise his Son. God took pleasure in crucifying and crushing his Son on the cross. We are to take pleasure in that love that was demonstrated in real suffering terms. And we are to come today and take the cup and the bread and say, Lord, I love you because you first loved me. Now, if you can't say that today, I would ask you not to participate in this communion table. If you can't say from the depth of your own heart with genuine love, Lord, I appreciate, I thank you for loving me unto death at the cross, please don't take this communion table today, because without that love in your heart, your worship is like lukewarm water. The Lord spews it out. But this table is designed that you might have that very love restored, challenged, revived, and renewed. And this is the remedy for a cold heart. This is the remedy. God has ordained this to bring us back to Calvary, back to basics, back to the very love of God for our souls. And Christians, we all need to hear again and again and again of the wonder of the Savior's love. I refer to that in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, what a wonder it is. The hymn writer put it, I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. It's the greatest news in all of the Bible. Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. This is the remedy for lukewarmness. The other is verse 20 itself, the Lord's communion is a remedy for our zeal. Now this is, this verse, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He that heareth my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. That word sup, dine, that's communion, that's fellowship, that's enjoying one another's company. Now this table of communion, it speaks of this two-way rapport with the Lord. His grace poured in, my love offered up. And it is like the company of two friends. You sit together, you talk together, you share your heart. And this communion table is the sharing of God's heart with us. And boy, is it ever on fire for us. What eternal, infinite love in God's heart for us. And we come to this communion to enjoy that. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. I have 6 points on this verse. It really was to be a separate sermon someday, but I'll give them to you now. Behold, I stand at the door. That's the pleasure of God's visitation. Behold, it's a wonderful thing, but it's God's great pleasure. I stand at the door and knock. There's the persistence. God's not going to go away. He stands at the door and knocks. Doesn't want to leave you in a wretched, miserable, cold, wretched, naked, blind state. He knocks and knocks. If any man hear my voice, there's the persuasion of God's visitation. He just doesn't knock and say, well, if he opens, he opens. If he doesn't, he doesn't. No, he speaks. He speaks. And my friend, if you're a Christian today, you're born again of the Spirit, you know something about the voice of God to your soul. You know when God's speaking to you. And he speaks. As many as I love, I chasten. And he speaks. I will come in to him. There's the promise. I will come in. This is no mere courier who comes to the door with a package and drops it off and runs away. I will come in. He comes into our hearts. And sup with him. There's the passion. The Lord loves to abide with us. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Here's the passion. And then there's the portion. And he with me. You have a part in this. This communion table is not a one-way vessel, but rather you have a part in dining with the Lord. And this is the Christian's heartburn. This is the Christian's joy. This is the Christian's delight. My Lord will meet with me, speaks to my soul, and he draws near to give me of his fellowship. That's the real blessedness, the strength, the joy of the Lord. Now, the Christian who perhaps for days, weeks, or even months has not had this communion with the Lord is in a wretched state. It's miserable being out of fellowship with the Lord. It's miserable when the Lord doesn't speak to your soul, when the Bible's shut up, when prayer, it's like the ceiling is brass and you can get nowhere. It's a miserable state to be in. But here's the remedy. Remember, remember. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Communion. Now the Lord's communing, the Lord's fellowship, the Lord's Spirit speaking in our souls is the sweetest, most precious experience of the Christian's life. Hymn writer Francis Blackmore put it this way: once I thought I walked with Jesus, yet such changeful feelings I had, sometimes trusting, sometimes doubting, sometimes joyful, sometimes sad. Oh, the peace my Savior gives, peace I never knew before, and my way has brighter grown since I have learned to trust Him more. And then here's the sweet part, verse 2 of that same hymn. But He called me closer to Him, bade my doubts and fears all cease, and when I had fully yielded, filled my soul with perfect peace. There's the Lord knocking at the door. He knocks at your heart's door today. He bids an entrance. He wants to fill your heart with heavenly grace, amazing grace. Yea, your cup can be full and running over. Come out of that wretched state. Confess it. Repent of it. Be done with it. Because there is a fullness that is awaiting the repentant Christian. Sermon's nearly over. There's one more thought, and that is the rewards of this zeal for God. We're told in verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. To the zealous Christian who labors for God by grace and by faith and by love, there are eternal rewards, everlasting rewards. Now, our justification is always on the merits of Christ, not our works. Our salvation is by the blood of Christ. It's His work. But when you become a Christian and you work for Him, the fruit of righteousness, a new life of worship and zeal for His glory, there are rewards which you will reap for all eternity. It's building up in heaven an investment account in glory. And when we live for the Lord, our service is rewarded. But not if it's lukewarm. Not if it's lukewarm. If your heart is in a cold, dry, barren, lifeless state today, all that you do, there's no rewards. The Lord says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. And then He goes on to say, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. Worship that is rendered unto the Lord out of zeal and love is rewarded. There's nothing that we expend for the Lord that's lost if it's done in Jesus' name. Now let me ask you, did you come to church today in Jesus' name for His glory, for His honor, to praise Him, to worship Him? Have you spent time on your knees for the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus, asking in His name? There's no losing the reward. There's no losing that reward. And so we need to repent. We need to change our attitude. We need to say, my very purpose for being a Christian, my very purpose for being saved, is to have a zeal for my Savior, jealous for His name, laboring for His honor. I'm not living for this world, but for the next, for glory, for heaven. And all I do, all I am, is to be stamped with a fiery zeal, an earnestness, a genuineness, and a determination, Christ first in my life. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now, if you live for Christ in this world, to die will be gain. It'll be a reward. Can we say that today? Is there somebody here and you're not saved, you're not a Christian? Here are the terms. Come to the cross. Repent of the world. Give up everything that's against the Lord and serve Him with all your heart. If I can help you as a one seeking salvation, please, let's get together and pray about this. Or someone who feels defeated today, you're in the wretched, miserable, blind, naked category, and you say, I can't live like this. Let's get back to the Lord. Let's repent of that. And may the Lord come. And may that zeal that's in His heart be poured into ours. We bid everyone who loves the Lord to come and participate at this table. If you're saved by grace and walking with the Lord today, come Let this remembering time fire up our love for Christ and fill us with a new zeal for Him.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and I want to come back to the little booklet that we're offering. It's called A New Beginning. We've dealt with the assurance of salvation, some problems that people may have, and there is a little layout chapter on this. And then there's a new section on new creatures. So what does happen when a sinner trusts Christ? The answer is that the most radical and far-reaching change of state and condition that is possible on this earth. God's purpose of election concerning you is fulfilled. He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. It is wrong for any man to try to discover if he is one of God's elect before coming to Christ. Like every other spiritual blessing, election is in Christ. Every sinner should obey the gospel and come to Christ. Once you come, you will realize that sovereign grace alone chose you, called you, and brought you to faith in the Savior. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. You will discover that you are reconciled to God, you are adopted into God's family, and you are legally acquitted of all guilt before God. And here in this little Bible study, you will have listed out these headings, Bible verses, and pointers that will give you the blessed assurance that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. This book is called A New Beginning. It's free of charge to any who write, call, email, or go through our website. May the Lord bless you through His Word. Thank you for being a part of our program today. We're here to help you. If I can be of any help one-to-one, give us a call. We look forward to hearing from you. Just now, we're turning to the announcements for today. May the Lord minister to you. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious Word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible Class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today. And be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.